During Memorial Day at Lowe's, shop household must-haves for less. Save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Grill to chef up something special. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep things fresh. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/27 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome my colleague and friend, Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs, to comment on the breaking news from Europe, from the Middle East. The Ukraine says it is willing to accept 30-day U.S. brokered ceasefire. This is London reporting. Washington says it will immediately, that's a quote, restore intelligence sharing and military aid after Kyiv accepts proposal. As I understand it, Ukraine has accepted a 30-day ceasefire. Russia has acknowledged that it can also acknowledge that, but that's not reported, so I'm being careful here. I don't want to get ahead of this. We also have the news from London that Mr. Trump has invited Mr. Zelensky back to the White House after the agreement to cease fire. Mr. Rubio's proverbial remark is the ball is in Russia's court. The talks in Saudi Arabia are said to have lasted 8 hours. Gregory, a very good evening to you. A ceasefire, what does it mean for the conflict zone? What does it mean for the dispute? Does this last 30 days and then they start shooting again, or is this a positive outcome to a negotiation? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, we can't tell just how positive it's going to be, but it can't be as negative as anything else that's been going on. It's better than fighting. The reality is that President Zelensky did, if you like, realize that he had nowhere else to go but to agree to this. He had literally delayed and blustered and bluffed to the last breath, if you like, and that did not go well for him, because the removal of U.S. support coincided with the Russian advances in the Kursk salient, where the Ukrainian forces had made some headway and did have some control over actual Russian territory, which would have been a bargaining chip in the peace talks. Right now, the Ukrainian forces in Kursk are under extreme pressure, and it looks like if the fighting had continued, that the whole, if you like, territorial advantage which Ukraine had gained over the past year would have disappeared within that time frame, probably, and the Russians were making other gains on the main front. So essentially, President Zelensky recognized he had nowhere else to go. He recognized that he had to come back to President Trump as the main arbiter, because without the U.S. support, they were in bad shape in the war-fighting front. And the Europeans, despite all of the talk about supporting Ukraine, were not going to fill that gap. And despite the fact that the Europeans claimed that they'd been providing the majority of the aid to Ukraine, the reality was that what was essential was the money and weapons and specific intelligence and so on from the United States. So right now, President Zelensky is probably going to jump at the chance to come back to the White House with all smiles and so on, knowing that he can't afford to bluff and bluster anymore against President Trump. What this probably will entail behind the scenes is a negotiation as to how to extract President Zelensky from the post-conflict scene, and at what point will he hand over power to somebody else in Western Ukraine? That's going to be the key choice here. But on the other hand, the other progress has been the fact that the Russians are working in concert with this. They were not any too happy about the recent unmanned aerial vehicle attack on Moscow by hundreds of Ukrainian drones, which basically showed how far Russia had come in the anti-drone warfare area, but it still caused some damage, and that really angered the Russian government. The reality is that it showed the impotence rather than the strength of Ukraine, because these drones did nothing more than annoy people, and they were not war-winning weapons or even politically or psychologically decisive. So it's a positive development that the negotiations are happening. It also reflects that Trump is getting his way in controlling these negotiations.
I note that the original offer came from Kyiv to have a ceasefire only in the Black Sea and regarding missiles, drones, and bombs only. And the President Zelensky writes on Telegram afterwards, he said the U.S. had proposed, quote, a complete ceasefire for 30 days. So this was Rubio's initiative, Rubio and the Trump administration's initiative. Gregory, what does Kyiv get from acting so recalcitrant? What is the gain here? Who's the audience for this? Because we can see where we're going, and these glitches are odd.
Well, President Zelensky cannot afford to be seen as having lost all authority and all capability, not only to his domestic audience, but also to the European audience. Otherwise, he would be gone today. The military would have removed him, if not the civil government. The fact is that the civil government, to the extent that it still exists, is unelected because they've run out of their electoral time frame, but the civilian politicians would join the military in removing Zelensky if he didn't start delivering something. So Zelensky has to look as strong as possible while still conceding, and that's where we're at today. The sort of half-hearted attempt to maintain a partial ceasefire was just not going to fly at this stage. So Washington got its way on that, saying, if we're going to be serious about this, let's do it, let's negotiate. And in many ways, I think Zelensky's happy with that tangible outcome, but needed to show that he still had some negotiating strength.
The remarks earlier in the day, Saudi Arabian time, were that U.S., Mr. Rubio and Mr. Waltz, the National Security Advisor, were telling Ukrainians negotiators in some fashion through Russia, because Russia was present in the room, not Ukraine, that you're going to have to give up territory more than was extant when the war started again in 22. That means perhaps they've not worked out the map yet. We've talked about that. Luhansk and Donetsk and Crimea are clearly occupied by the Russian military. But Zaporizhia and Kherson, the two additional provinces that are part of Novorossiya, are barely occupied. So there's a lot of negotiation that's ahead if that's what they're going to do. What is a ceasefire achieve? Does it mean they're not going to rearm, that they're not going to rotate, that they're not going to prepare their troops again to fight? What does it mean?
Well, I think it's ambiguous. The question is, to what extent can they rearm? They're already getting the benefit of a ceasefire to, if you like, reposition, re-strengthen their manpower,
right,
who have been under this enormous pressure. So that, I think, is significant. In the longer term, what will Russia have to give up? Well, it won't give up, of course, the Kursk territory. It'll get that back. It probably won't give up the Crimea, nor the main occupied territories. It probably will have to abandon its hope of getting the Kharkiv or Kharkov area back, and that was Russian in the past, and it was probably the industrial heartland of the Soviet Union for a long time, and that will probably stay with Ukraine. So that actually would be a major gain for Ukraine to retain that. But I think the whole Donetsk, Luhansk regions, and probably some of the other will stay with Russia. It's sufficient for them to control the Sea of Azov, and then its access to the Black Sea. And of course, Crimea will be retained. How they word this and what they call things post-war is going to be the critical area of the settlement in terms of face-saving. And it will also determine to what extent you can get a longer-term rapprochement between Ukraine and Russia. We're seeing that after World War II, of course, nobody thought there would be a rapprochement between France and Germany, particularly over Alsace-Lorraine. But that has occurred. So it's possible, and I think probable, that we'll start to see a rapprochement, particularly if we view the U.S. investment in development in the rump Ukraine, Western Ukraine, as being something which could be positive for both Russia and the West, and it could be a real bridge there between the two. The problem in the past that really led to much of this conflict was that Ukraine was really skimming off the top of the Russian oil and gas exports, which came through Ukraine to Western Europe. Ukraine wasn't paying Russia. Ukraine had the listing by all of the measurable indices that it was the most corrupt country in the world, and it was. This antagonized Russia. It stole a lot from Russia. We saw the Ukraine involvement in blowing up the Baltic Nord Stream pipelines. So all of that has got to be put in the past. They've got to start to recover both the Nord Stream and any other dealings from Russia through to the West. So, and that can be done to the benefit, great benefit of Ukraine if this works out well. But you have to then, at the same time, get rid of some of the xenophobes in Kiev. And they include, of course, President Zelensky.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs and the author of the new book, The Noble State. When we come back, what does this mean for NATO? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.